money and markets. European Union, one of the reasons I wanted to come to Europe was to try and get an understanding by talking to the money managers over here what in the world is happening. We watched this week an unprecedented global central bank intervention in the face of what's now known as euro dumping, people moving away from the euro. We've watched incredible move up in interest rates in LIBOR, a real freezing of interbanks in the interbank lending in the European Union itself, and then a tremendous rise in interest rates on a lot of the sovereign debt. And you've reached a point where that kind of rise in interest rates hits a straight upward sloping yield curve in demand. Higher interest rates don't bring out more supply. They bring out a lot more fear because people see that those rates are simply not maintainable. And you're watching a real cut throughout the world that we've talked about before between those who can print paper and those who can't, and among those who can print paper, those who have the force to back it up. The European Union, is this tremendous consensus here over a wide body of people, and this is not a new thought, that the European Union is a political experiment that can never work well as an economic matter. It's really something imposed that's not aligned with culture, it's not aligned with economies, it's not aligned with any kind of jurisdiction or sovereign jurisdiction that people vote for political representation. The United States is 50 states that speak the same language. Europe is many countries that have very different languages, very different cultures and economies. And so trying to make this into one system run by a committee that doesn't have sovereign authorities or representative systems or any sort of natural economic constituency is just more centralization that can't work as an economic matter. There's a very interesting video that one of you sent in this week, and I posted it on the blog, of a Soviet whistleblower comparing very precisely the exact organization of the Soviet Union, sort of top political organization as well as the bureaucracy. And it's quite remarkable the number of sort of how similar the systems are. And so I recommend that video to you. We had last year John Laughlin from Paris, a wonderful British commentator who's written some very good one book and many good writings on the subject of why the European Union and that kind of centralization doesn't make sense. So I refer you to that if you want more. But what you see in Europe, I think, is not a lot of understanding of the power behind the forces of centralization. If somebody can spray chemtrails all across Europe, including Zurich and Switzerland, despite the power that Switzerland has, and you know they then have the power to dictate extraordinary centralized financial arrangements. And so I think the power of the slow burn behind the euro and the European Union is much greater than I think a lot of people in the financial community might understand. And what we've seen with unprecedented central bank inflating, including this week, means more harvesting to come, and I think there's a lot more harvesting that could happen before this thing is over. It's interesting, many of the money managers here that I talk to expect a managed process, so they're not afraid of a collapse, but they do think this thing could drag out for a very, very long time. And of course, by the time we get the European situation run out, certainly the U.S. dollar could be run out with it. So the question again, is this part of a move to a global currency? What's interesting is if you dig down and look at the real economy in Europe, it's in much better shape than the U.S. Much better food, healthier people, much better infrastructure. There's a lot more strong family network to support, and in pockets, there's a lot more rainy day money. In some respects, Europe has a much longer memory of what these kind of cycles can be like. The best thing for Europe is that the euro be permitted to manage debt as soon as possible, and many of the countries, the pigs, particularly allowed to take their medicine and function with their own currencies. Unfortunately, I don't think the centralizers intend to let that happen. And I think their power to keep the global game going is is greater than is understood, as I said before. One of the most positive things you see here and hear a lot about is a growing anger and sort of revolution in consciousness of a wide number of people. And the thing that is most positive to me is it's not just the young people or the retired people, it's the people on the line who run the trains, who run the financial system. The Swiss are remarkable in their absence of certain kinds of corruption, and watching the corruption and their frustration in dealing with the corruption, you know, is very, very visible. And I think once you start to get that kind of frustration and revulsion of important people on the line who are needed to run the day-to-day systems, you're really coming into a point where you could get a real major shift that could unleash real change. When I attended the conference last week, it was a very sort of diverse group, and I hope to write a lot more about it on the blog, but there were deep, deep disagreements about both what is the problem and what is the solution. Numerous people were proposing models that were based in theories that money and property rights were antiquated or bad or the cause of the problems. It was pretty terrifying for me to try and quietly explain that a model intended to promote things like eco village and intentional communities can easily be misused as a model to justify stealing land and moving people into labor camps. I kept saying, you know, one man's intentional community is another man's prison camp. So throughout the first days, everyone referred to collapse as if it was a fait accompli. I finally said to one of the Germans who at dinner, who has a much more corporate background, why everybody assumed that there would be a collapse, and she just said, oh, the media always says so. So I thought that was sort of an interesting point. In the U.S., we see American Airlines filing for bankruptcy. I put a very interesting article up on the blog. The pension plan issues are quite significant, including what it would mean to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. It's a federal government entity that backstops corporate pension funds. All you need is for a couple more big corporations to go, and I think the backstop on corporate pensions could be very much up in the air. All of these questions come back again and again and again to centralization versus decentralization, and we are really reaching a very important crossroads. One of the groups I spent a lot of time with at the conference was a group from Portugal who are struggling to try to restore the land with water reclamation and rebuild local economies, including the agriculture. One of the things that happened with the advent of the European Union and Portugal going on the euro is literally they stopped growing and they stopped being food self-sufficient, started importing lots of food. And what you can see in the dialogue is you have a group of people who really want to rebuild the real economy but are essentially subject to a national or a regional currency and tremendous regulation coming out of Brussels that's basically destroying the economy. And that's why I have to say that in my book, the goal of the European Union, like a lot of the centralization we're watching, is really to shut down the economy. It's a plan. Where they want to go is a return to feudalism, where people live at a subsistence level with no property rights and no ability to build intergenerational wealth. The intergenerational economic and political power will be limited to sort of the equivalent, the modern-day equivalent of royals and aristocrats. And the important thing, if you're going to sell this package, is to make it look like it's coming from the grassroots and it's positive for the environment, the culture. So it's going to be sold as green. It's going to be sold as sustainable. And it's going to be a reform reacting to the evilness of greed and the inability of humans to properly take care of property and their environment. But the goal is a global vision. It's not limited to the European Union. The important thing for the people at the top is to go slow, so that the frog just doesn't jump out of the pot as the water warms. And that's why it is so, so important to bring transparency to what is really going on, because really the people, including the people running the everyday systems throughout the world, they are a mighty force if they get unleashed, and they can get unleashed in time with transparency. So I'm going to skip Ask Catherine today. We have plenty of questions for Foster.